got to who introduced them and how they got married. And later the Chumash is going to describe how Yaakov and his wife met, and how Moshe Rabbeinu met his wife. Maybe Yitzchak Radichever points out in his Sefer HaChumash, in Kedushas Levi, the Torah never tells us how Avraham Avinu met his wife. How come? He gives the following answer. He says that the Chumash is not intended to serve as a biography of the tzaddikim. The Chumash is supposed to tell us how we're supposed to lead our lives. So Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, when they met their wives, they were thorough personalities, and this is relevant to us, how they met their wives, so we should learn things from them. Avraham Avinu was a Nachri at the time that he met his wife. Something he met her at a New Year's Eve party, something worse. So what's the significance? And they became observant later. They became monotheists and they became religious later. So it's not really relevant. Maybe the Torah isn't. Maybe we said the Torah is not a biography of the tzaddikim. Maybe it is a biography of the tzaddikim. But when you write a biography of tzaddikim, you're not supposed to write the things that are irrelevant. You only write the things that that the Doris HaBoyim are supposed to be learning from. That's what the Kedushas Levi wrote. It's interesting. The Chumash tells us the way Yitzchak Avinu had very little to do with arranging his shidduch. It was all arranged by his father. We're brought up in a generation where people are not used to that. We're brought up in that part of the world where the parents have nothing to do with, don't have too much to do with arranging for our marriages. And we often don't listen to our parents when it comes to shidduch. Now that I've gone to the parents' union, so I can speak from the perspective of the parents. Even if the children are brighter than the parents, the Gemara has an expression, even if the parents are not as bright as the children, but they have much more life's experience than the children, so they know how to notice things that the children may not notice. Take for example, what's the whole purpose of getting married? The purpose of getting married is to have children. So, just last week, somebody was here from Dor Yisharim talking to me about genetic testing. That in all the Siddush yeshivas and all the right-wing yeshivas, they do the genetic testing for the boys and girls. And Yeshiva University, which should have been the first place that should test, or Ramada, you know, we should be the first ones to use whatever is available for modern medicine in order to secure that our children should be healthy. We don't, they tried it here, and it was a miserable failure. The students didn't want to have the genetic testing. So the brother was talking to me for an hour, the way we have to introduce the testing, so then right after he left, he was talking to me, right after he left, the boy came over, and he was telling me an issue that he has, that he's engaged, and he's going to get married, and I throw up a shiloh with the shul, with the machit and everything. So I said, by the way, did you have the genetic testing case? He said, what's that? You never heard of that. The guy's going to get married. That's your next test. What's the whole purpose of getting married? To have children. What do you want to have? Sick children? That's elementary. In case people don't know what's elementary, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Gemara that you shouldn't marry a girl from a family where they know that they have sicknesses, and the boy should. And the girl shouldn't marry a boy from a family where they know that they have sicknesses. The whole purpose of getting married is to have children who should be healthy. Of course, if there are sicknesses that can be avoided, whatever you don't know, you don't know. But if there are sicknesses that can be avoided by seeing to it that they're not both carriers of the same sickness, that's a double portion. So a lot of times the parents would understand this better than the children. Children are just in love with the girl. Whatever they think in love means. And love is an important thing. The Gemara has the Gemara talks about the mitzvah, the Ahavta L'Racha Kamoich, and the Gemara says that it doesn't apply equally to all people. You have to love your wife more than you love your neighbor's wife. You have to love your friends and relatives more than you love your strangers. It's not Re'acha, it's everybody equally. So the Gemara says, oi, there's a stick of gufoi. Machap the yosin of gufoi. Yeah, there has to be a lot of love. There has to be a lot of love for the wife. But when you read today's parsha, it describes the way Yitzchak marries Rivka. After they got married, then he loved them. I didn't know in advance, but apparently it's a different kind of love. not when you fall in love, then you marry the girl. Fall in love means like in the movie. Fall in love like the movie star. No. Here it says that he developed a love afterwards. It's supposed to be a different kind of love. It's supposed to look for different things in marriage. You have to see to it that the girl should be a balabasta, that she knows how to bake, and she knows how to keep a clean house. And she knows how to dress normally. But you just want to have a girl who dresses nicely on date. And after she leaves her husband, then she'll dress like a slob. She won't dress, and she won't make her hair nice. You have to make sure you want to have a girl who's always going to look good, not just on the date. You have to make sure that the girl is not fooling you. She doesn't just dress up for the day. It has to be a different kind of love. It has to be a love. You love the meters that the girl has. Morris speaks about the importance of marrying a bas tamachochem. What's so significant about marrying a bas tamachochem? So the Morris says, in case I'll die, my wife will raise the children properly. In case the wife is not about tamachochem, that's the reason I think I'm going to get. In case the wife is not about tamachochem, in case the husband will die, he'll probably go back to his parents' home. And then they'll be raising their children, like Goyim, or like non-observant Jews, or like Amei Ha'aretz. So the husband, even though he passed away, will be very upset about this, to know that his children are being raised like that. You have to marry a girl whom you know are going to raise your children. What you're supposed to look for in marriage. I don't know what exactly people are looking for. They're not just looking for the good looks. The good looks are not going to last forever. We hope they do last forever. And you have to marry a girl whom you know, whom you're convinced is going to dress nicely for the 70 years that you're going to live with her after you'll be married, not just on the day. Anyway, so one of the main things in marriage is you have to look at to make sure that you should be able to have healthy children. That's very important, to check to make sure that there are no sicknesses, and to check if there are sicknesses that can be easily avoided. If a couple is married already, then they realize that both carriers of a disease, so they have either the option of getting divorced, and each one should marry someone else, or they can practice birth control and then start having in vitro fertilization, which is a terrible thing. That's a tough. But people, before they get engaged, before they get married, people decided, even though they realize that they're both carriers, they're going to get married, and they'll practice birth control all the time, and then they're going to have in vitro fertilization. That's normal. People are doing that. People from Mardi Shiva are doing that. But they're so medically advanced, they're so advanced that they understand all about birth control, they understand all about the in vitro fertilization. That's not normal. Normal is they make sure that you're not both carriers of disease, so you won't have the problem. So you have to look for problems. The Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin points out that there are three different ways to get married: there's kesef, the shtar, and the bia. And the Gemara says that by the umas oilam, there's only kiddushi bia. So it says in last week's sedra, he gulas boal, when Abimelech, Melech Prishtin, took Sora Eshet Avraham, or it's in Parshat Lech Lecha, I think. It says, Hashav Eshet Shish, v'hi gulas boal, so the Gemara says, gulas boal yesh lehen, nechna se v'chupa v'loi niva la'ein lehen. By the Yuma Soilem, the only form of Kiddushin is Kiddush Ediyah. They don't have the other form. Kiddush Ediyah means that it means, implies that there's only a physical attraction to each other. There's only a physical connection in the husband and the wife. And the halacha says that by Bnei Yisrael, we not only have Kiddush Ediyah, which the Chachamim did away with, they prohibited Kiddush Ediyah, we have the other two forms of Kiddush Kesef and Kiddush Shtar. So there's no physical contact between the boy and the girl at the time of Kiddush. It's the Kesher of Neshamas. There's supposed to be a physical connection. There's supposed to be a spiritual connection as well. So the Gemara learns that from this parasha, Kiddush Shtar is learned out from Makash Havai Litzia. As we know that you do Gerishin Ayidei Shtar, that's the only way to make Gerishin. So we learn out Makash Havai Litzia, the Hoch of the Hoysa Bishacha, that you can do Kiddush Ayidei Shtar as well. How do you know that there's such a thing as Kiddush Kesef? But remember, the beginning of Kiddush has two drushas, and one of them is the famous drusha, Kicha Kicha Mizdeyachem. It's a verb, Vayikach, with Palartha Miyoda. Here it says, Kachmimen. The verb kicha appears over here in connection with Avraham Avinu purchasing the Marat HaMachpelah. And then the Chumash Dvarim says regarding getting married, kicha chishisha hadosh. The verb kicha appears in connection with getting married. So the Gemara derives the Zerusha, the kicha, kicha mizdeyach. So the Maskilim over many generations, used to make fun of the Rabbanim and the Gemara, that they consider it like buying real estate. When you buy yourself a wife, it's like buying real estate. And they treat, and they assume that that's why they're going to treat their wives like their property. Why are they going to assume like that? What the Tanoim and the Amoraim treated their wives like property? Goyim treated the wives nicer than the Tanoim and Amoraim. We don't have any evidence to that effect at all, that the Tanoim treated their wives like they treat their property. It's not so. It is a little strange, though. Why should they learn out Kicha, Kicha, Mestechem? It is a little strange. So Rabbi Hirsch has in his, one of his essays on marriage, he has an interesting comment, that the rabbis intended to learn out from Kicha, Kicha, Mestechem, because the Pasuk tells us here the way Avraham Avinu loved his wife so much that he spent a fortune of money to buy a fancy burial site to bury her in after she passed away. He didn't want to bury her together with the Nochem. The Halacha says you're not permitted to bury Yisrael next to a Nochem. So he insisted he wants to buy a separate plot, and he paid a fortune of money. But the Pasuk describes the way he loved and cherished his wife, and he spent so much money for her even after she passed away. Mara has a din in Ksubis, that's what we're learning this year, that Oilo Ima Ve'ina Yaredesimo. Mara has a drasha, the pasuk, the Hebrew Lash Baal. Oilo Ima Ve'ina Yaredesimo means like this. Let's say if a couple is married, and they're both from wealthy families, and they both, the husband is making a very good living. He makes a lot of money. And the wife's family was always in the practice of going to Switzerland in the summertime, and they visited Yerushalayim Shalosh Rukolim. They go skiing, whatever. In the wintertime, they spend a lot of money on a lot of things. And the husband's family had a lot of money. He has a lot of money now, but they never spend so much money. They never splurge so much. So after the wife gets married, and there's going to be a sichzuch between the husband and the wife, the wife says, "Hey, you're not treating me nicely. My father always took my mother, Shalva Shigolin, to Yerushalayim, and he always went skiing in the winter, and over here in the summer, and this and that." The husband says, "Well, my father never treated my mother like that. We never did. We never had such a friend." And the Gemara says that Oyleima the Eni Aradisima, that the wife is entitled to demand of the husband the fancier standard of living. And if it's to be reversed also like that, let's say his family, they always spent a lot of money, and his mother always had a lot of dresses, and his sisters always had a lot of dresses, and everything is a lot of shoes and a lot of pocketbooks, everything very fancy, everything matches. The shoes with the pocketbooks, with the dresses, with the hats, everything always matched. And her family, they never had such fancy stuff. So now that she gets married, she has the right to demand. She wants to live according to the standard of living that her in-laws had. That's halacha. Oilima ve'ini aradisima. The wife has the right to demand a higher standard of living. The Gemara says that this is called man. Are we SDFP? Not for us. This is nothing but familiar. So the Gemara says that Kozman, that the couple is married, this is the Olima Ve'eni Aredesimo, that the wife is entitled to live on the highest standard of living. What happens after the wife passed away? And the husband is Mechuyav B'Kvuras Ishtar, and there are different ways to make a funeral. He can hire a whole orchestra to play soft music at the funeral, fly in the greatest Balmaspid of the generation from Europe, that you should deliver on Knockout Hesped and have the fanciest cemetery site overlooking the Mokam HaMikdash, whatever, and you can have the fanciest wooden coffin. You can spend a fortune on it. You can have everything cheaper. So does Halacha say also, even after the wife died, even though they're no longer married or not? So the Gemara says that's a machlokes tachanon. But over here the Pesukim tell us that that's the way Avraham acted towards his wife. He spent a fortune of money because he loved his wife so much that even after she died, he wanted to give her the absolute highest covet that he could give her. He buried her in the Boras HaMachbeni. So that's what Rabbi Hirsch suggests, that perhaps the reason why what prompted the Tanoim to darshan from this pasuk, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim, regarding the Jewish marriage, is to teach us this lesson, that the Jewish husband should treat his wife like Avraham Avinu treated his wife. And even after she died, he also spent a fortune and money on his wife. You have to be mechabed your wife. That's Allah and the Gemara. The husband has a chiyuv to be mechabed the wife. The wife has a chiyuv to be mechabed the husband. Seems a little contradictory. Well, who's going to stand up for whom? one's going to stand up for the other. So the answer is it doesn't mean the same thing. The husband has a chiyuv to be mechaber his wife means to spend money on his wife. Mechaber yoytzei megufa means if he has, like over here, Avraham Avinu spends a fortune of money to buy a plot to bury his wife. And while she was alive, he spent a lot of money to buy her fancy clothing, to put her through graduate school, if she's interested in that, and to buy her the latest books that come out. She's interested in reading, and going to the theater, whatever she wants, the music, musicals, whatever she wants. Her husband has a chiyuv to be mechaber his wife, needs to spend money. Not just to hold the door for her and put on a mink coat and so on. Spend money for the wife. And the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that this is considered as gula for Ashiras, if the husband spends money on his wife. So the pasuk says of the Avram Heitiv Ba'avura. The Gemara says that the gula for Ashiras for the husband is if he treats his wife nicely. The Gemara has the lashon Alkira Mishaychum Keheches Tisasru. You should be mechaber your wife in order that you should strike it rich. The chiva of the wife to be mechaber the husband, that doesn't mean she should spend money on the husband. It means she should be mechaber him. She should help him out in his business if he needs some help. Unless he doesn't really need the help, unless he's wealthy enough and they can afford to have secretaries, so why should she run into the business? She should take it easy. But the chiva of kibbutz that the wife has to the husband, the chiva of kibbutz that the husband has to the wife, are not contradictory. They're two different chiyuvim. It's interesting, the commentaries on the Chumash point out that Avraham Avinu only gets involved in the shidduch for his son Yitzchak. You don't find that he gets involved in the shidduch for his son Yishmael. Yishmael is also a son. So they point out apparently the interest of Avraham Avinu to get involved, not just to get involved, to arrange for the whole shidduch for his son, was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to keep the Yitzchak before the Chazera. That in Yitzchak and not Yishmael was going to be the Zera Avraham. And you know that the tradition of monotheism and Abhamon going, which one of the children are going to carry on this tradition to become the others. Avraham Avinu was the first of the others. And then he was told, the Eskel HaGadol of Avarecha HaGad Shmecha, there's going to be more others. Rashi quotes the Medrash and then opening Pesach and Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu was told there's going to be another two others. So which one of his children is going to be the next one of the others, and which one is going to be the one through whom the Emunah was going to be transmitted? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him Yitzchak and not Yishmael. So that's why it was very important for Avraham Avinu to arrange for the Shidduch for Yitzchak. It wasn't important to arrange for the Shidduch for Yishmael. But find his own Shidduch. What's the difference? But for Yitzchak, he had to arrange for it to make sure that after getting married, he would be able to, he and his wife would be able to serve as the Oris and Nimois of the Klal Yisrael. And what did he test for? So the Eliezer Eved Avraham only tests for Gemilas Chasod. He doesn't test for anything else. He just says he's going to see if the girl is going to offer him a drink, if she'll offer a drink for the camels, and so on. There is a Pirkei de Rav Lezer, a Medrash, that says that after Yishmael was married to his girlfriend, so on one occasion Avraham Avinu visited his home when Yishmael wasn't home, and his daughter-in-law was there, and he asked if she could give him a cup of coffee and a little Danish, and she said no. She wasn't interested in being Master Zarchan, her own father-in-law. So he realized that the Nebuah was absolutely correct. The Yitzchak was Karl of Hazera. The Nebuah was that Yitzchak is going to be the Zera Avraham, not going to be Yishmael. Yishmael didn't have this, his wife didn't have this meet of Hachnasa Zarchan. Avraham Avinu has noted that he's Hachnasa Zarchan. So that's why he must have given the instructions to Eliezer, Eved Avraham, when he goes to look for a wife, make sure that the girl is Makhtar Anachnos and Torah Mazmilas Chassodim. That's going to be the hallmark of the Jewish people. What's wanted by Shonim and Gomli Chassodim? The wives that Yishmael married didn't have any of the above. And Avraham Avinu was upset about it, but he understood it, that he was given this reward, that Yitzchak is going to be the Zera Avraham, not going to be Yishmael. These are the things that you have to look for in a girl when you're going out, to see if you see this girl should be intelligent. Okay, she doesn't have to be that genius. Just because you have 5 PhDs doesn't mean that the girl has to be a PhD also. The biography of the Chafetz Chaim that was written by the son, and he writes that when his father was looking for a shidduch, he just needed a girl who knows how to cook potatoes. Chafetz Chaim was a very bright person, but he wasn't looking for a chavrusa. He was able to write his Chafetz Chaim without his wife. He was able to edit the Mishnah Berurah without his wife. He had other people. He didn't need. You're not supposed to look for a chavrusa in a wife. you need someone, okay, if you want to be intellectually stimulated, that's one thing, but it's not the same as looking for a chavrut, and it's not necessary to be intellectually stimulated by your wife. You can be intellectually stimulated in the base medrash by other people. It doesn't have to be that to your wife. There's nothing abnormal about you if you're not looking for the smartest wife in the world. There's nothing wrong to look for a wife who knows how to cook potatoes. You have to look for a girl who knows how to raise children, who knows how to cook well, who knows how to dress well, how to be a balabasa. People are looking for totally the wrong thing in marriage. The Pesukim, you see that Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer that he should go back to his homeland. He wants him to get a shidduch from his family. So a lot of people have the attitude, you're not marrying the family, you're only marrying the girl. That's against the chumash. The Torah says you are marrying the family. Why is it so important that you should know who the family is? And what was so gewaltig about Avraham Avinu's family, the role of the Avodah Zarah? What was so gewaltig about his family? So the Ran has in his drushes the famous comment that the midas, we assume the midas, are transmitted in the genes of the people. Not only physical properties are transmitted, but even midas are also transmitted. So Avraham Avinu thought that despite the fact that the members of his family were up there with his aura, but he thought that they were very fine and very able and had wonderful midas. It happens that this some of the people over here in the narrative are real wheeler dealers, crooks. But basically the rest of the members of the family, the Pasuk tells us that the characters in the family, but basically the members of the family have midas tovus, and that's the most important thing to look for, is midas tovus in the girl. It is important to see who the members of the family are. Stam, when a person is going to get married, what, you're never going to say you're not interested in going for a Shabbos by Yom to visit by the in-laws? If the in-laws are not religious, or the in-laws are not nice people, why should a boy settle if a guy's already 35 years old, getting on? Okay, so he has to settle already. So he'll settle and marry a girl who doesn't have such a wonderful family. But people who are younger, they're just they're looking for a shidduch lechatchila, they're not looking for a shidduch b'dyavad. Why should a person settle now and marrying a girl who doesn't have a family? Why shouldn't you have more brothers and sisters and more parents? Why shouldn't you marry a girl who has very nice siblings? And you have a good time whenever you go to visit any of them. Or why shouldn't you get married a girl who has wonderful parents and you'll enjoy it every time you go visit by them and you'll talk and learning with the father-in-law? What's so terrible about that? How about that? Be a happier person. I don't know why people are so callous about this. They don't care. They're just marrying the girl, they're not marrying the family. Why shouldn't you get? If you can marry a rich girl or a poor girl, why shouldn't you marry a rich girl? You can marry a girl who has so rich, she has brothers and sisters and parents and aunts and uncles, and they're all fine, nice people, and you can have a good time whenever you visit any of them. So why not marry that girl? Why should you marry the other girl who's missing all of these meetings? I find it hard to understand why people are doing this anyway. The Chumash sees that it's an important thing to look into the family. Ramor writes in Shulchan Aruch at the end of the statement about Kibud Av V'Aim, that if parents are unhappy with the shidduch, so there's no din of Kibud Av V'Aim with respect to, you don't have to listen to the parents with respect to shidduch. And the Bi'ur HaGra gives the three explanations, the three timim that are given by the Poskim for this din. He gives one explanation is given based on the Rashba in the beginning of Yevamim. The Kibud Av V'Aim is only when the parents are asking for service, when they ask you to take out the garbage, when they ask you to wash the dishes, when you go shopping for them, when you go do an errand for them. But if the parents are going to tell me how to run my life, that's not part of Kibud Av V'Aim. The parents have no right to tell me how to run my life. That's the Rashba in the beginning of Yevam, Sandav Hei. And then only going to quote another reason, that the Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak in the Sugya of Kibud Av V'Aim, has a discussion whether Kibud Av is Mishal Av or Mishal Ben. Let's say the father is interested, father would like to have some ice cream, whatever, he'd like to have a new suit. So So do I have to buy him the shoes for my money? Do I have to buy him the ice cream for my money? Do I say, okay, give me a credit card, I'll be happy to go shopping for you. The father is interested in visiting Eretz Yisrael. So I said, okay, give me a credit card, I'll arrange for the trip. I'll drive you to the airport, I'll carry your luggage. And he says, no, he wants me to buy the ticket on my money. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, keep it out of Michel Abel or Michel Bank. The son is not willing to spend money on the father. To do tirchet, to do the pu'ula, to be mishamish the parents, keep it out. But it's not Michel Bain, the son is not believed to lose money from his pocket. But there's only going quotes the earlier apostle to say, the Kalvachayim Amarach, the son is not believed to lose money from his pocket, to keep it out. He's certainly not believed to have a broken heart. If he fell in love with this girl and he wants to marry this girl, then the parents say they're unhappy, they want him to marry somebody else. So, and say, not, that's like losing what I want. That's like losing what I have. So the thing is, I'm not mechuyev to keep it out purposes. I'm not mechuyev to spend money from my pockets. I'm not mechuyev to lose the girl whom I really am in love with. And the third reason that the Gemara quotes all from the Poskim, it's not his original time. And the third reason is that the Gemara says, whenever the keep it out is in conflict with any one of the mitzvahs of Torah, so then there's no din of keep it out. But the father tells me, on Shabbos, he'd like me to give him a cup of hot coffee. I should make him some hot coffee. But keep it out. Doesn't forbid me to be in the Chal Shabbos. Or it's raised. I didn't daven mincha yet. My father wants me to drive him somewhere. And I only have 20 minutes left to daven mincha. I'm going to drive my father on this mincha. He insists he wants me to drive him now. So the din is that there's no keep it out. Whenever to keep it out is in conflict with a mincha. You don't fulfill the mincha. Keep it out. Cold shavy al tas and kumiyasa. If it's in conflict with Shabbos, the father wants me to be machal Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. But even the vatla mitzvah, even the vatla minig, even the vatla minig also not. Let's say there's a minig, a face, what's a minig? Clapping my shyness on Hashanah Rabbah. I didn't clap my shyness yet. My father wants me to do something for him. I said, I didn't do the Hashanah yet. So the din is that the Hashanah takes precedence. Even a minig, unless it's a minig that not everybody has, it's not a widespread minig. Let's say the father feels bad why I'm saying Kaddish for the mother. My mother passed away, my father's alive. My father asked me, could you please do me a favor? Give me the heebie-jeebies when you say Kaddish. Don't say Kaddish when I'm in shul. We always daven in the same shul. I have to go to daven in another shul. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no din of kibbutz out in such a case. Everybody knows that the minig is that you say Kaddish. Unless it's some outlandish minig to fast on Bahav. How many people fast on Bahav? Years ago, it was a common practice. They didn't have anything to eat anyway. Today, hardly anybody fasts. So the son wants to fast on Bahav. The father wants to take him out to dinner to eat somewhere. He makes up in advance. He wants to take him out. The son says, no, I can't go that way that day. I want to fast Bahav. So the father says, they don't fast Bahav. Then the father has the right. He wants the son to be mishamish and to serve him by eating with him in the restaurant on that day. Not that he's gunning out against Bahab, but he wants him to be mishamish him and thereby to violate this mitzvah. So don't adopt no minhagim that not everybody has. No, so here they say in Shulchan Aruch, the fellow already decided he wants to marry this girl and he's prepared to perform the mitzvah. And the father's going to say no, but he's not going to say, okay, so I'll marry the other girl. No, it's going to take him another half a year or another 5 years until he decides who's going to be Mamali Mokin for this girl. And then he's Mavatal Mitzvah for the next couple of months. If Taki has a choice, either this girl, this guy, I love both of them, I can marry either A or B. And the parents say, don't marry this one. He says, okay, so I'll marry the other one. But that reason wouldn't apply. But that reason of the Vilna Gaon, the third reason, that the kibbutz doesn't apply to the mivatla mitzvah. That reason wouldn't apply. It's not being mivatla any mitzvah. Instead of proposing to this one, I'll propose to that one. So sometimes the Sefer Hasidim writes, and the later Achronim, some of them quoted from the Sefer Hasidim, some of them write it on their own, that sometimes there is a din of kibbutz when it comes to a shidduch. In the Shulchan Aruch, they're talking about a case. The parents just say, we don't want you to marry that girl. But what happens if it's really embarrassing to the parents? There's a real good reason why the parents are going to be humiliated if the son is going to marry that girl. The girl's father is a gangster, he's a criminal, they're sitting in jail, or something like that. And they're going to be an embarrassment to the parents. So then they say the Hasidim and later post and say that the visit didn't keep it out in such a case. Mommy, she's mavaza the parents by marrying that girl. Gemara in several places quotes the two psukim, the one pasuk from Chumash and the one pasuk from Malvi, regarding the obligation to marry and have children. The pasuk in the Chumash is Kuruhu, from Parshas Bereishis and from Parshas Noach, and the pasuk from Navi is Lato Baro La Shevet Yitzor. That's the mitzvah of Shevet, to have children, that the world shouldn't be an empty world. Lato Baro La Shevet Yitzor. So the Shevet created the world, that it should be populated by the inhabitants. So the Mishnah in the end of Perek Avoy Vimta has a machlekes hatanoim, where the women are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirud Rivim. So we pass in Aloha, no. We pass in that Pinti Pasuk says, Kuru Hu, Milus Ha'ars Mechib Shuha. Mechib Shuha means literally to conquer the world. To conquer means Berach Kibush Mokama. And Nashim Alabanoi is Kibush Nina. Women are not drafted in the army. Women don't go to war. That's the more the first daf in Kiddushin has like that. But the Kibush Mokama doesn't apply to women, only applies to men. So since the Pasuk puts Kuru Hu together with Mechib Shuha, so that's how we pass in Aloha. One time it says not so, one time it says that Kru Ravu was said in the plural to both all the Memchabas. The women are just as obligated as men. And we pass on like the other opinion that the women are not obligated in Kru Ravu. So the Rishonim have a machlekes. You look in the Beis Shmuel on the first page in Eben Ezra, and he quotes there's a machlekes between Taisus and Chagiga against the Taisus and other Mesistas, where the women are mechuyev in the mitzvah, midibre kabbalah of Shevet. Maybe they're exempt from the mitzvah of Chumash of Kru Ravu. Maybe they're still obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Shevet. So what's the difference? So what do you gain by saying that women are exempt? The nafkamina is a basic nafkamina. Is a girl permitted to marry a boy whom she knows in advance is unable to have any children? The women are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Shevet. She has to marry a person whom she thinks will be able to have children. If she's not obligated to Shevet, she doesn't have them. It's stupid. Right now, the girl is so madly in love with the boy that she thinks she's going to be in love forever, and she never will need any children. As the years will go on, she'll see all the other girls in the neighborhood will be pushing their baby carriages, and she's not going to have any babies, and they're going to be making bar mitzvahs and chasanas and grandchildren and everything. She's going to be left just with a husband, so she's going to be sorry later on. But if you see a girl who's interested in marrying a boy whom she knows in advance is not able to have children, you should try to set her straight. It's really ridiculous. You're going to have karata years later that you married this thing. But I was like, that's the machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. How do we pass them? Whether women are mechuyev in Shevet or not? If you hold that women are mechuyev in Shevet, so what do you gain by saying that they're exempt from the mitzvah Kru Ravu? The same color code, they have to have children because of the pasuk in Dibri Kabbalah. It's the same thing as saying that women are mechuyev in Shevet. So the Achrayim discusses what might possibly be a difference between Kru Ravu and Shevet, or Shlomo Kluge has in one of his svarim, as in Noel of Lachayet, many shalos and shivas. There's one little sefer that was edited by his grandson, who was named after him. His name is also Rav Shlomo Kluge. But he Shlomo Kluge usually has very long shivas. So the grandson did us a favor, and he abridged over 1,000 shivas, and he put them in one small volume called Elef Lecha Shlomo. Over 1,000 shivas, and he only took out the relevant paragraph of each shiva, the pertinent paragraph, and he put it in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So he has in those shivas, Elef Lecha Shlomo, a suggestion that maybe the mitzvah Kru Ravu, the Mishnah says at the end of Avoda Zarah, the mitzvah is only fulfilled if the person has a son and a daughter. There are different opinions, and that's that way we pass. You have to have a son and a daughter. As opposed to Shevet, maybe one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah B'divi Kabbalah of Shevet by just having one child, whether the child is a boy or the child is a girl. So let's say if a woman already had one child, and then she got divorced with the husband died. Now she's interested in marrying a person who's not able to have children. So then everyone would agree that that would be okay. But the women are not obligated to fulfill Kru Ravu, just obligated to Shevet. And Shevet is enough that you have one child. In the days of the Tanaim, the Gemara has cases where you kaifa people to get married. Let's say a guy doesn't want to get married. So you kaifa him. No, that's a pasuk in Kohelet. The Gemara says in Yivam at the end of the Perek Avoy Vimta, where the whole sugya of getting married is, the Gemara says that means that there's a mitzvah to have more than a son and a daughter. You should have more than that. Even though he already had a family when he was young, he should try to have more children later on. As the pasuk says, you should plant your seeds in the morning and then plant some more later in the afternoon. And the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva had all the students when he was young, and all the students died, and he got nothing out of it, and then he had to have students later on also. So the Gemara says, as long as the person is in the field of teaching Torah to others, he shouldn't retire at a young age, even though he already has so much money accumulated in his pension. He has millions of dollars, he can retire at the age of 50. So the Gemara says he shouldn't do that, because you can never tell which Talmidim will be the more successful ones. Talmidim from the younger years or Talmidim from the older years. And look at Rebbe Akiva, that he had all these thousands of students, and they all died out in the plague, and then he had to start all over again, and the Torah was transmitted through those five students that he had in the later years. So the Gemara says the same regarding, that's how the Pasuk says. Because you'll never know, Eizeh Yikosha Hazeh Ozeh. That's how the Pasuk ends off in Kohelet. So the Gemara says the same regarding having children, that even though you had a son and a daughter, you should try to have more children. And the Pasuk says you can never tell which will be the better children. And the Shulchan Aruch, this is quoted, the mitzvah of La'er V'atamach Yadecha, that the accepted opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, that it's not a mitzvah in Atar, it's not even a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. It's a recommended mitzvah chassidim. And if it's uncomfortable to fulfill it, it is going to cause a problem, a friction in the family to have more children. Then the Rambam calls for the Trumas suggestion that you don't look for trouble. You don't do it. It's not that it's an absolute steer of the Erev HaTanach Yadech. If the people think that they're up to it, some people can barely raise one child. So how are they going to raise, so they have an obligation to have a son and a daughter. Then you got to tell them you got to have another two children or more. Have a bigger family. They're falling to pieces raising the two children that they have. So we wouldn't recommend such a case if they should have more. Or the Shulchan Aruch gives other cases where the wife doesn't want. So the wife doesn't want to have any more children. So the husband's going to pressure his wife. She doesn't want, she doesn't want. Should have discussed it before he got married. The Pashto says doesn't, the Rav Shlomo Kluger says he doesn't think it makes a difference. He thinks that seriously, if you have to be a son and a daughter, that's accepted opinion. The Shevis is one son. The Gemara talks about kaifin on Tiruviridim. If women are not mechuyib, but men are mechuyib in Tiruviridim, because a man is not interested in getting married, so they're going to force him, they're going to pressure him to get married. Which girl is going to marry this guy that they're pressuring to get married? Which crazy girl is going to want to marry him if he doesn't want to get married? I don't know, they don't say whom they're going to marry him off to. I guess this girl is establishing to marry him. And he, on principle, doesn't plan to get married, period. So, the SOI has an option. For $3 or for $1, and it comes later on for $1. So call a curtain off, and they'll pressure the guy to marry that girl who gives the $1. Okay. There are more rights in Shulchan Aruch that we don't practice this anymore. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, that after 10 years being married to Sora, and Avraham Avinu had no children, then he realized that he better do something about it. So the Gemara says that the person was Shor Esr Shanim, and he had no children, then he has to do something. You call for also the garish, you force him to get divorced, marry another woman, unless he can ascertain that he's the one who can't have any children. He's not going to have that he marries another woman. But if it would appear that the problem is from the wife, not from the husband, then you force the husband to marry another wife. And if need be, you force him to do, if you can't afford to have two wives, of his manner is that we don't permit people to have two wives, then you force him to divorce the first wife and to marry a second wife who is a bazban. So there are more rights in the name of the Lord said that we don't do this anymore, Bisman Hazem. This was a practice years ago. Well, how come we don't do it anymore? So the Mordechai explains, based on the Gemara in the end of Cheskes HaBatim, the Gemara says that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the people saw that there was such anti-Semitism, and there was such persecution of the Jews, and they figured it doesn't make sense that we should marry and have children. Let's not have any children. Let's decide not to have any children, because we're going, we'll have less Jews to kill. Unless the Jews to torture and to persecute. So these people were encouraging the Tanaim to make such exeris, that no one should have any children. So the Tanaim said, yeah, that's exeris shein reva tibi uchem lamabon. Normal people have a desire to have children. They enjoy having children. So they said, we're not going to make such exeris. But for the fact that the Tanaim entertained such a havamina, to make such exeris that we shouldn't have any children, And that's what the Mordechai says. So after the Churban Bayis Sheni, if a person doesn't want to have any children, he can't be faulted. So he's really doing something that is correct. Tanoim just didn't prohibit having children because it's a Gzeira Sheni Rebbe Tzibuchal Mamed, but in principle it sounds like it's the correct thing to do. And that's that chance. So therefore you're not caring for the person that doesn't want to get married. So when was there such a din? The Brisa says, Kofen also Lagarish. He forced the person to divorce the first wife, marry her. When was the din? This Brisa was a Brisa Keduma from before the times of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Very strange. Quite an early Brisa. The early Tkufa Satanoi, from before the Churban Bayis. Okay. That's what the Mordechai says. The Mordechai took the Gemara literally, when the Gemara says there in the end of Chesed Sabbatim that we should have really made such a gzera upon ourselves not to have any children. Taisus Anat Gemara asks the Kashan, how can they make such a gzera not to have any children? Isn't it against the Pasuk of Chumash? It says, you have to have a son and a daughter. The Taisus says, no, the gzera meant, the gzera wouldn't have been to do away with all children. The gzera meant not to have more than the two children. If the one has already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kirim Rivya, you shouldn't have more. In other words, the gzera would have been against L'Erev Al-Talach Yadav, but not against what it says in the Chumash. The Mordechai understood the Gemara otherwise. Mordechai obviously understood the Gemara, the gzera that they were contemplating making would have been not to have any children at all. Because otherwise the whole Mordechai doesn't make sense. He says, if you're not carried for today, I'm going to rid you, because they were going to make such a gzera, and the only reason why they didn't do it because they were going to do it for a long time. He understood the Gemara not like that. Be worse than him in terms of killing. I don't know. In every generation, the Jews after persecution had the same debate whether we should make such a gzeira not to have any children. Right. So the Taisus is a problematic Taisus. Taisus says, how can they make such a gzeira? It's against what it says in Chumash. What's the kasha? Don't we know that yesh kach yachal chanu lakadav natar b'shevi al tasa? The Chachamim made a gzeira not to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Not to shake a lulav when sukkahs falls out on Shabbos and so on. So many gzeres to shake the altasa. Not to put tzitzis in a beggar chalpishta, not to be in form of tesach, like Yerushin and Garber and Pesach. There's a whole list of cases in Yivam is not tzadik. Of the Yeshkar, the Yachal Chamim, Laka, Zav, and Atar, Bishay, the altasa. What it takes to get so excited over here, that they had to reinterpret the statement to the Gemara that the gzer would have been not to have more than a son and a daughter. So the author of the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Gantfried, has a sefer on Bava Basra. It's a little bit out of use these days. Hardly anybody uses it. It's a different style. After Rav Chaim came on the scene, nobody uses it. No Shlomo anymore. So anyway, on that daf, he has a famous comment on that thesis. That he says that there's a famous Taz who asks Akasha, Taz quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach, that he asks Akasha, why did the Chachamim only prohibit Kiyo Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Because of the concern, Shema Yavirenu Dalaramis Bishusaram, why didn't they prohibit Kiyah Shofar in general all the time in every Rosh Hashanah? Because of the Gzeira, Shema Yitzakim Kalashir, they prohibited Mashmiya Kol. We're not allowed to play any musical instruments. So they should have prohibited Kiyah Shofar because of the Hashmoat Kol involved. Why did they only prohibit Kiyah Shofar when Hashanah Chali is Bishab? So the Taz quotes from the Ba'ah that the Chachamim have the right to make Gzera B'Shevi Al-Tasa, but they cannot go Kenega Dov HaMafurish Bater. It says in the Chumash you have to blow Shevi on Rosh Hashanah. How can they make Gzera against what it says it's listed in the Chumash? True, the din is that you have to blow Shevi even when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbat, but that doesn't say explicitly in the Chumash. That's self-understood. There's no reason why you shouldn't blow Shevi when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbat. It's not a malacha. There's no reason that you shouldn't blow Shevi. But since it's not explicit, that they had a right to make Gzeira against, but they had no right to make Gzeira against to abolish the whole institution of Kiyah Shofar. That they didn't have the right to do. See, it says in the Chumash you should put on tzitzis on the four corner garments. It doesn't say explicitly that you put on tzitzis even if the beggar is a beggar show pishton. That's self understood, and the Chacham have drushes that as if the Chaloy says is derived from the parsha of tzitzis, that you have to put on tzitzis even though it's going to make shots and stuff. It's in between the lines you're reading like that. That the beggar is a beggar shall pishtan, and the chutim of the trelis has to be a chutim shall stem. The trelis has to be a specific color dyed with the halazim, and it has to be dafka this material of tzemer. Because that's reading in between the lines. We understand that there's a beferish drasha, not a beferish pasuk, it's a beferish drasha that assumes that a beggar shall tisht on a scribe and sits in sauce, but it's not a beferish pasuk. So that's why the Tanoim had the right that the Shammai made the gezeirah that you're not allowed to put in tzitzis in a beggar shall tishta. That's one of the cases where we pass them like the Beit Shammai. They had a right to make a gezeirah their rabbanon against the thing which is not explicit in the Chumash. But they can't. It says everybody has to bring a carbon pesach on our Pesach. It doesn't, and it says even a ger has to bring a carbon pesach. But it does say even if the ger converted on our Pesach, that's what they prohibited. A ger and his god, their Pesach, they prohibited him from bringing the carbon pesach that year. Next year he brings it. That's not. It's against the halacha. The din there I says that the ger has to bring the carbon pesach even if he just converted today. But that din is not explicit in the chumash. So that they have the right to make a gzera the rabbah. So this is the famous machlokes rishonim and achronim. Many rishonim take a stand on this. Some in one direction, some in the other direction. Is this klal of the taz, the shem habach, is this correct or not? But the chachamim do not have the right to make a gzera kenega dova hamafurish batur. You find a lot of rishonim and achronim hold like this. So that's alpi pashtus the machlokes over here. There is an explicit pasuk in the chumash regarding pirigurim. Yeah? And then the Gemara says the Chachamim were contemplating making a gzera derabana not to have any children. The Tosafot said that's impossible. Not to have any children, to be mevatel, to be oikir, the whole mitzvah. They will never fulfill the mitzvah, it cannot be. They have no right to make such a gzera. What it meant was they were contemplating making a gzera not to have more than a son and a daughter. And they saw that gzera is also angry about tzibuch adam lamago. A lot of people enjoy having more babies. So they're not going to listen. So they decided they're not going to make this gzera. And Marchai understood the Gemara, no, that they were contemplating making the Gzera not to have any children at all. Zero population. Not having any children at all. That they do have the right to make Gzera. A people of the Shevi Altaz, even Kenega Dava HaMafurish Matar. That's a machlokes in the Mishan. In Ksubis, later in the Mesichta, there are going to be discussions about Oynes and Mephata and Baitzi Shema, which is all Ksan. So the Gemara says in Gittin and Baba Kama that Bismana said we don't have any real smuchim, and the ability of the Rabbanim to function in the Din Torah is based on Shlicha Sayu, that the original so we assume la locha that what the dinim is manas they have no right to be done dinik not. So what does it mean? A man is ma'anas and mafata people and he just gets away with this. You just let him run around. It's terrible. So the ravid has hasogas on the rib. The ravid hasogas on the rib begin in the middle of the fourth perik in Ksubis. Perik Narish and Espasa. So he quotes several tshuvas hagoyinim who all say the same thing. That if you see the Bezin sees the manazet, that someone is being the honest and the father girls, despite the fact that he cannot paskin that he has to pay the onus and the father, that's a knas, but still Bezin makami yanshu shlomin adin, Bezin should do something to stop him. The one way to stop him is by making him, by punishing him, by penalizing him, by making him pay a penalty of money. So the Bezin has the right to make him pay a penalty to make sure that this will deter him from doing this activity again. So do they have the right to make him, to penalize him, honest and mafata, to make him pay hamishim shekel kesef? So the rabbi quotes the tshuvas agarim, no. They can penalize him that he should pay 40 shkolim, they can penalize him to pay 60 shkolim. More or less they can make him pay, but they can't make him pay exactly the 50 shekel, the hamishim shekel kesef, because that's kineged davar mafurish bater. That's what he said. Ben makli yanshu shalom and adin, they have a right to punish Shalom and Adin, to punish the person, even though we don't have Smicha Bizmanazeh, there's no real Bezin Bizmanazeh, it can't be done. The Niknasis Bizmanazeh, but still, we can punish Shalom and Adin, but we can't have the punishment correspond exactly to what the Din. The Din HaTorah is only if you have a Bezin Shal Smuchim. We can punish him more or less than the Din HaTorah. And the Ramah quotes that in the beginning of Choshe Mishpat, when there's a whole Siman, Siman Basis, Siman Gimel. But it's all about Bez and Makam and Yonche, Shalom and Adin. He doesn't quote it from the Ravid, he quotes it from other Tshuvas HaGoyim who say the same thing as the Tshuvas that the But the Rebbe is quoting. This was also an interesting. The Taz interprets like that. That Taz, it quoted the Bach, that the Bezin has no right to make a Gzeira Bakir Dov Men Ater when it's Kenega Dov Amapurish Ater to do away with the whole institution of Tia Shefra. The Taz says this word based on the Lashon HaGemara that the Achrayim are all in the same generation. They all said the same thing, the Maharam Bublin and the Maharshal on the bottom of the Maharshal. So they both, there's a tshuva from the Maharam Gublin and the Maharshal on Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis, where they both, Maharam and the Maharshal, both have the same comment on the same Gemara that the Taz commented on. That the Gemara says on, in Sanhedrin, that Bez Machmei Anshe Shalom and Hajim, V'loi Laver Al Divrei Torah, Ela Kidei La'aseh Siyog La'Torah. V'loi Laver Al Divrei Torah. The Gemara has a case that somebody rode on a horse on Shabbos, and riding horseback is only a prohibition of the Rabbanon, it's not an Issa Deraisa, and they gave him the death penalty. Even though the halacha doesn't say that one who rides a horse must get Einish Misa, nonetheless, that was Lohairua Shola Migda Milta. Another case when a person did an act of preaches, and they gave him Malchus, even though strictly speaking, the Gemara says he didn't deserve Malchus at all, but that was Lohairua Shola Migda Milta, so they had a right to give Malchus. But the Deraisa continues over there. That's a brisa from the Megillas Tainus that's quoted in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nevov and Medalas that says V'loy lava al divrei Torah elokei delasas siyog la Torah. What kind of a lashon is that? V'loy lava al divrei Torah. Of course not lava al divrei Torah. What the rabbis are going to be born rabbis. So what are they trying to bring out? V'loy lava al divrei Torah. The rabbi's intention should not be lava al divrei Torah elokei delasas siyog. Of course not lava al divrei Torah. What's the hava mean? So the Taz says, and that's what they all say, the Maharam and the Marshal, they all say the same thing. Well, the Lava Divitar means that although Bezin has a right to do something, the Hirosha, the Migda Milta, but they can't go against the Dava HaMafurish Batara. Even when they're giving Makhli Yanshin Shalom and Adin, it can't be like over there. You want to penalize the Ma'anis and the Mefata, they can't make him pay Hamishim Shekel Kes. You can make him pay more, you can make him pay less. It's not right to make him pay the Hamishim Shekel Kesef. That's Kenegad Dov HaMafurish Batur. The Maharshal has a famous comment on Daf Nun Beis in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells the story of one of the Amoraim who lived way after the Chutn Bayis Sheni. Most of the Tanaim lived after the Chutn Bayis Sheni. The Gemara says there was one Amoraim who lived way after the Chutn Bayis Sheni, and in his community there was a Baskoyim Shendinsa. He administered the Einish Dreifa to the Baskoyim, and he made a big fire and he burnt her. He burnt her in the fire. So the Gemara says he made two little mistakes. He made one mistake that we don't administer Nisus Bezim Bizman because Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. You have to have a Sanhedrin Gdoila located in the Mishkas HaGozis. Malam Isham Mokim Dorim. And so the Gemara says 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, both Mudin and the Farshis because of Sanhedrin Goltam in Taimam. And from that time on, from 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, they were not done anymore, didn't in the Poshis anywhere in the whole world. And then the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis quotes another pasuk that you can only administer din in the Poshis in Zman, Sheyesh Koyen Oyveis, Zman says that they're makriv korbanos, Zman that there's not Koyen Oyveis, Agav Yam is best, so then you also don't administer din in the Poshis. So that's mistake, little mistake number one, he was done din in the Poshis in Zman as then. Mistake number two was that he burnt a girl. He burnt the Bas Koyin alive. That's not supposed to be straight. The straight is supposed to be open up the mouth. You pour down melted lead and it burns out the kishkas inside. The person dies like that. And, so the Gemara says he made two mistakes. But the Pella, how can he make the two mistakes? So the Maharshal writes on that Gemara, he has a terrace. He thinks that the one kasha far after the other. Kona b'chavet and the tarza. He says, Veneni kecholo kala Gemara. He says, I'm just giving a historical suggestion. He's not disagreeing. He thinks that you have it. He assumes you have the right to disagree with the Gemara on historical issues. You don't have a right to disagree with the Gemara on halachic issues. He says over here, he thinks that the one kasha far answered the other. That the Amora knew that you're not done in the Foshis Bizman Azeh because ain't there some Yiddish Kaim and there's no Yiddish Kisakosis and so on and so forth. But he wanted to give Makam Yonshin Loi Rosh or the Mitzan Nulsa. But whenever you give Makam Yonshin, you can't give the exact same Odish that it says in the Chumash that you're supposed to give under normal circumstances. Like the Ramah quoted there in Eben Ezer, the Ramah in the beginning of Choshe Mishpat and the Raivit in Perek Narish and his Pas on the bottom of the Rift, they quote from the Chilas Agonim, you can make the Oynes and the Fata pay 45, you can pay 55, but you don't make him pay 50. So that's why this Amar Dafke gave this Reifa in the wrong fashion. So he had a right to do that because Bezim Akam Yanshu Shalom Haradim. If he would have given this Reifa the way it's supposed to be, pouring down the lead down the throat, that would have been a violation. That's exactly what the Torah says you're not supposed to give. The proper form of this is Bezim. That he gave a different kind of some other form, not any one of the forms of Nisim Bezim. Yeah, but this is a big machlokes in Rishonim, whether this is so. Many Rishonim hold that so. Many Rishonim hold that the Bezim does have the right, or Bishay the Altasin, and this is Bezim. The Bezim does have the authority, even to be Yoke Dogman Atomi Kolokol. The Dubai, that's what there are more pastors like that, Malach. That you're not Kaifa Bismanazam, Piribiribio. Because the Gemara says he understood the Gemara like the Mordechai, that it would have been preferable to have made such a gzeirah de Rabbanan, not allowing people to have any children at all. That's the way Tosfos learned that, that you should make a gzeirah de Rabbanan not to have more than a son or a daughter. They wanted to make the gzeirah not to have any children at all. There is a famous issue that's brought up by the Ramban and his commentary on Chumash. If the Chachamim have a tradition that Kiyam Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kulo Ad Shelo Nitna, now the last daf in Kiddushin says that Avraham Avinu fulfilled all of the mitzvahs even before the Torah was given. The Medrash says somehow he had the ability to figure out by looking into the world. He had Kloyos Yoyotzos, his kidneys somehow gave him advice, and he figured out all of the Taryak mitzvahs HaTorah, and even the mitzvahs from the Rabbanon. The Gemara says even Erev he figured out. He observed everything, so the Ramban assumes that it's not only true regarding Avram, it's not true regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov as well. So how come Yaakov married Shtei Achoyim? So the Ramban on Chumash raises this question. So the Ramban has this famous answer that Kodem Atizorah, the mitzvahs, the Ovis only volunteered the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. It makes more sense in Eretz Yisrael than a Chutzlah, so he only volunteered in Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu married two sisters that was in Chutzlah. When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, one of them died. And that's the reason why one had to die, because when he comes back to Israel, he has to go back to follow in the footsteps of Avraham and Yitzchak to observe all the Taryag mitzvahs. He's not allowed to be married to two sisters. And the Marami Prague has in his Sefer on Rashi, on Chumash, on the Gurariya, he says, no, the oldest only volunteers to fulfill the mitzvahs at Sefer and Matzikar. The mitzvahs, Lo says, it does make sense to volunteer. There is no concept of Eina Mitzvah Leoisa on a Lav. There's only a concept on an essay. So the obvious Kodem Matzah Torah was a Pchina Veinah Mitzvah of Yosef, so that only made sense to volunteer. And Mitzvah is not on Yisur. Yeah. I don't know what the Ramban does with that Medrash. That's a very good question. Love and Garti, the Medrash says the Taryak Mitzvah Shamarti, that the word Garti is the same letters as Taryak. I guess the Ramban is not following that Medrash. Yeah. So there are many answers on that question. How can it be that Yaakov married two sisters? So one of the famous answers is given by Rav Elvala Soloveitchik. He said the prohibition of marrying two sisters is only if you take a marriage to the first sister, then you're not allowed to live with the second one. It has to be kiddushin. If even a shayla, maybe you need me suin. Shayla, kiddushin is enough, but you need me suin. Pashto says kiddushin is enough. But what happens if a man is mizana with a girl, then he's not allowed to marry her sister? So the Mishnah in Yevamos, there's a parak in Yevamos that starts off with the word Noshim Alo Anusa, that I'm permitted to marry the sister or the daughter or the mother of a woman whom I was ma'anus or ma'fata. Noshim Alo Anusa, the Al HaMafuto. It's only if I actually marry this woman, then I'm forbidden to marry her mother, that's my mother-in-law, her daughter, or her sister. But if I was only mizana with a woman, then there's no prohibition. So what if I married a woman, but I didn't have an Ishus Yisrael? I only married a woman with an Ishus B'nei Noyah. So that's Rav Elvala's famous Chiddush. He said, the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah, they could volunteer all they want from today till next year. But still, it was Kodem Matan Torah. So they were incapable of creating an Ishus Yisrael. The only Ishus that they possibly could have had was an Ishus of B'nei Noyah. The Ishus of B'nei Noyah is different from the Ishus of Yisrael. The Yerushalmi says, and the Bereishis Rabbah says like that also, that by Ishus and Enoch there's no institution of Gerushin B'Ksav. There's no get. What does it mean? There's no get. So the Yerushalmi has a machlokes amarayim. Where does that lead you? So does that mean that they simply can't get divorced? They're stuck. Once a nochri gets married, he's stuck for the rest of his life. What do you say? No. The other opinion in Yerushalmi is that there's no gerushin big stop. They can have gerushin balpeh. The husband or the wife can initiate the divorce. That's how the Rambam. The Rambam is Naples for them, and the Catholic Church was Makkah. The Catholic Church adopted that opinion in the Yerushalmi, that they have no gerushin period. And the Rambam assumed the other way, that that the Nochum do have gerushin. It doesn't have to be Bixav. It can be Balfair, and either the husband or the wife can initiate the gerushin. The husband says, goodbye and good luck, I don't want to live with you anymore. And the wife says, goodbye and good luck, I don't want to be married to you anymore. Whoever makes that declaration says the Yishus is broken already. So you see that the halachas are different. The Yishus is still the Yishus B'nai Noach. There is a discussion also, is there a din of Soitah? By B'nai Noach. By B'nai Yisrael there is a din. If an Yishus Ish is in so, so she's Astur al-Baila. Is there such a din by B'nai Noach? If the Nachri is married and his wife has an affair with someone else, then the Nachri has to get rid of her. He's not allowed to continue living with his wife. What if he says he's Meichel her? And he wants to continue living with the wife. So he says, Buster. Is there such a din? There is a tshuva by the Beis Meir. The Beis Meir was a cousin of Rabbi Kiveger. Obviously he was a contemporary of his mother. And a contemporary of the Chemda Shloima, he used to correspond with Rabbi Kiveger. So the Machon Yerushalayim printed about that 20, 30 years ago, a small sefer that the Shadus Tshuvas of the Beis Meir. Beis Meir is Kiburim on Shulchan Aruch. And they published this collection of Shabbos and Shuvahs of his several years ago. So there's one Shuvah there that's very, very strange. And the one who did the work preparing it for publication writes in the footnote, he showed this Shuvah to all of the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, and no one thought that it made any sense. He doesn't know how to make any sense out of this. There's an old story about a non-Jewish woman who was a maid in a Jewish home, and she always wanted to convert. Finally, the end of the story, she finally does convert. That's the end of the story. So in the beginning of the story, she's living with a Jewish man. She was a maid in a Jewish home, so she knew all about Shabbat and Kashrus. She knew all the mitzvahs. So she decided she was also keeping all the mitzvahs. She was cooking on Shabbat, but she decided she was going to keep all the mitzvahs like the rest of the members of the family, like members of the household. And then one fine day, she married a Jewish man. But then one of the people in the neighborhood said, what did you do? They're telling him, you married a non-Jewish woman. What are you, crazy? You're not allowed to live with a non-Jewish woman. So the man ran away from the community, ran to a different community, and the woman remained behind. Then she fell in love with another Jewish fellow. She's only dealing with Jewish people. So then she was living with the second guy for a while. Then after she converted, and she gets back to the first guy, and now that she's Jewish, and now he's going to marry her. So the Rabbanim told him, you can't marry her. Soitah. Since he was married to her originally it was an intermarriage. There's a Jewish husband and a non-Jewish wife. And he gave her a ring and he said, hurry up with the Kodeshes. We're living together for a while. And then the people in the neighborhood said, what are you, crazy? What are you living with a non-Jewish woman? She's not Jewish. She never converted. So he ran away. The husband ran away. He realized that he's wrong. So in the Jewish state mayor, he assumes that there is issues between the Jewish husband and the non-Jewish wife. There is an issue. It's not going to be Ein Kiddush and Tovsin. It's not going to be issues. It's going to be issues B'nai Noach. And then he assumes that all the Rabbanim about, they all assume that there's a din of Soitah. That since this non-Jewish woman had an affair with someone else, when the husband ran away, when he left town, so she had an affair with another Jewish man. So the original husband is not allowed to marry her after she converts because of the din of Seita Asura L'Bayla. There's a din of Seita by two Kiddushin this morning. There's issues between a Jewish husband and a non-Jewish wife. There's issues B'nai Noach, Kiddush number one. And Kiddush number two, we originally used to thinking Ein Kiddush Tovsin is no issues at all. But these G'dayla Matsun, no, there's no issues. You saw there is issues B'nai Noach. And they're assuming Kiddush number two that the din of Seita Asura L'Bayla even applies if there's only issues B'nai Noach. You don't even have to have issues. The whole thing is Kula Chiddushin. That's what the one who prepared these Kisvayat, the publication, writes in the footnotes on the bottom of the page. He showed these lines in the Tshuva to all the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, and no one knew how to make heads or tails out of it. How can it be? They never heard of this. But there are those who sing like that. That's They also say that's the famous Chuvas HaRamah, commenting on the pasuk Hashem Eisen Shirishki Novihu Yispao Bavko Vecheyei. At the beginning of Lech Lecha, the Rebbe tells Avraham Avinu should go to Eretz Yisrael. He goes to Eretz Yisrael, but then Rahi Rovaret. He goes down to Mitzrayim. So Avraham Avinu realizes he's going to be in big trouble. So he says to his wife, she should say that that they're brother and sister. So on that occasion, yeah, the first time when he goes down to Mitzrayim, it says he makes up with his wife, and they won't start up with us. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya writes on that pasuk, what does that mean? We should tell a lie. We should tell a lie in order that they shouldn't kill me, in order to take you away. Is that the way a believer acts? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, it doesn't mean that they should tell a lie. If they'll say, Imri Nachosiyah, that will be the termination of the marriage. Because Halacha says that Avraham Avinu only had an Ishus Beninoyah. He didn't have an Ishus Yisrael. And the Rambam quotes from Halacha the stock from Yerushalmi that either the husband or the wife can initiate the marriage, the divorce, and the divorce is accomplished. There's no need for a document of a guest. You just make a public declaration that we're not married anymore. So once she said in public that she is a sister, he tells her, Avraham Avinu tells the wife, you say that we're brother and sister. So that's what she said. So she said we're brother and sister. That was the end of the marriage. But she thought it wasn't an issue. So what Avraham Avinu said was not a plot. Hey, let's make up a story that's not true. Let's say that we're brother and sister, make believe that we're not married. No. He said, my life is in danger. Do me a favor and let's get divorced. We'll get divorced. So we my life will not be in danger. So she said, okay. And that's what they did. They got divorced. How'd they get divorced? She said, that's my brother. When she made that public statement, that's my brother, that was the divorce. That's how the Rabbeinu Bechaya interpreted. So then you have in Parshas Vayera, the same story repeats again, but he went out of Melech Ror. So that time Avi also said, Imina Hosiyat, and that time Avimelech had the dream that is going to be punished. Hoshav Esav Shiv, Kinovi, who is Paul Batka Bechyev, Da, Nein Chamesh of Daki, Mois Tomus, because he will as well. He's going to be punished. I over there, she also said that they're brother and sister. So why is he going to die because she's an Asian dish? Somehow Rabbeinu Chai explains why it didn't work the second time. The first time in Parshas Lech Lecha it worked. It did constitute Gerishin. And the second time, it didn't constitute Gerishin. So the Pasuk says, we assume, that they were still married. The second time around, when they went to Avimelech and Ochdor, so the... So we assume that Avram and Sarah were still married. And then the pasuk says to Avimelech, the Novi, that he gets the Nevuah, Hashem Eishu Sheish Ki Novihu, give her back because he is a Novi. And if he's not a Novi, we don't have to give him his wife back. So the Ramah writes in his Shalas HaTshuvas, and some of the later Sfarim write like that. It's surprising that the Ramah wrote like that. The later Chassidish is from the other spin. So they say, Hashem Eishu Sheish, give back the wife Avram Avinu, because Kinovihu, he is a Novi, and he knows Birach HaKodesh that he didn't touch her. If it would have been anybody other than a Novi, and the husband wouldn't know that maybe the wife was Mizana with someone other than her own husband, then there would have been an Issus Beis HaLevayla. But because Kinovihu, he is a Novi, so he will be able to be Mevar Birach HaKodesh, if the wife was not Mizana, then the Mevar does not be Mizana. So those who give this suggestion are assuming that the Din of Beis HaLevayla applies to Bnei Noach. Ish has been enough. So a very big chiddush. The Pashta says that this is not from the mitzvah Bnei Noach. The Pashta says that it's not so. The Chiddush is far, they discuss this interpretation that you should rely on Ruach HaKodesh to be mevar the facts of the case, to be matar a woman. If I have a topic where the woman is a tzoyt asur al baila not, to go to the Novi, Novi will tell you b'nevuah that she was not mezana, so that's okay. You have takin. You have the right to rely on nevuah. On Ruach HaKodesh to be Mevarer, fact to the case. See them tell a story about the Navi Yehuda with the Baal Shem Tov, that they lived in the same village for a while, before the Navi Yehuda went to Prague. And the Baal Shem Tov was the relative of the Navi Yehuda's wife, they were cousins. The Navi Yehuda was very opposed to Hasidus. he didn't want his daughter to go visit by the cousin, by the Baal Shem Tov, but she visited anyway without the father's knowledge. She used to go visit him to hear Yirah Shemayim, to gain Yirah Shemayim. So she was afraid to tell her father. So on one occasion, when she was visiting by the Baal Shem Tov, he stood up in the middle of a conversation and he ripped his garment and he sat down. And she didn't understand what that was all about. It wasn't apropos to anything that they were discussing. So she wrote down what day it was and what time it was in the day. And she was going to try to figure out what happened that he had his Kriya. Several months later, the word reached Poland that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh had died exactly on that day, at that time in Eretz Yisrael. So she realized that the Baal Shem Tov, clearly how she always thought that Baal Shem Tov had Ruach HaKadosh, but now she saw with her own eyes that her cousin, the Baal Shem Tov, had Ruach HaKadosh. And this time she revealed to the father what she was doing. She was sneaking in against his wishes to visit the Baal Shem Tov all along. And she said, you have to believe that he has Ruach HaKodesh, and she told him the whole story, that he ripped Kriya. We just found out today that that's when the Orach Chaim HaKodesh died. Obviously, he stood up to rip Kriya for the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. So the father was upset and angry with him. So he said with a stern face that the Baal Shem Tov was over on Baal Tashchis. The Talacha says he only ripped Kriya when you're there b'shas yitzias neshama, or when a rechot comes and tells you that a relative died. But it says, no, if you're not there, and you don't have an Eid Echad, an eyewitness who tells you, you figured it out with Ruach HaKodesh, what the facts are, so you're not allowed to follow that way to ascertain information, and that's a violation of Baal Tashchis. So when they told this back to the Nevi Yehuda, to the Baal Shem Tov, the Nevi Yehuda said that he was in violation of Baal Tashchis, so he said, what do you mean? I was there, the Shas Tzivit Hashem. He lived in Poland. Our Hamakadosh died in Eretz Yisrael. He said, what do you mean? I was there. He was there, B'shaz Tzivit. That's the way the Chassidish version of the story goes. That was the concluding remark that he gave. So that's the discussion that the Chassidish Hashem to have on this pasuk. Is this Tshuvas HaRamah, is this interpretation acceptable? He's a Navi, so he'll know Baruch HaKadosh that the wife was not Mazana, so therefore there's no prohibition of Tzayda. You can rely on information that you ascertain based on Ruach HaKodesh or based on Nevuah. That's a question if that's acceptable or not. Anyway, so Rav Dovid of Soloveitchik has this famous interpretation. The answer to this kasha of the Ramban. How is it that Yankov Avinu married two sisters? If the Gemara says on the last stopping solution, the Kima of Avinu called to Kolat Shalai Nitzna, so why didn't Yankov also fulfill the Ramban's kasha and the Marami Frank's kasha? So Rav Dovid of Soloveitchik gave another answer. He said that the Mishnah says in Yevamos, Noisem Ava Anus of Ala Mafuta, that the only time it's forbidden to marry Achris Ishta is if you're married to the first wife. If you were never married to the first wife, then there's no prohibition to take the system. So what if he was married to the first wife only with Inishus Bnei Noya? It wasn't Inishus Ishta. Then Rav Dovid thought that's not sufficient marriage. Inishus Bnei Noya has a different kind of issues. The Pashto says that there is no Ishus Saita, the Bible, the different kind of issues. And there's no Gerushin Bikdav, whatever there is, but there's no, either like the Captain Stretch or like the Rambam, whichever Amora's opinion you want to accept in the Talmud Yerushalmi, but this is clear, there's a different kind of issue and you don't have Gerushin Bikdav. That's Rav Dovid I thought, that the issues, and then also there's another difference, that the Nochrim only have Bulas Bal Yeshlahem, they don't have a concept of Eresim, they only have Nisu and Mamish, and they don't have Kiddusha Kesef for Shtar, they don't have Kiddusha Diyah. When they do the Kiddusha Diyah, she becomes right away a Nisu. There's no such thing as Nisun, so the Kupa Valayivala Elam, they don't have everything in Nisu. The whole nature of the Ishus Bnei Noach is totally different from the Ishus Yisrael. So that's Rav Dovid thought, that since Yaakov Avinu never had an Ishus Yisrael with the first wife, with Leah, so there was no, he couldn't have had. He is no Kima from Vina Kola Tarakul Achimon Nitzan, they volunteered, but there is any material yet. But there's still Dothkul Tzavu with Kodim Atom Tzavu, so it was impossible to have an Ishus Yisrael. That's what all the Russia was. So therefore, it wasn't Shaykh to say that there should be a prohibition of Achay Tishna. Because Achay Tishna is only applicable when you have the Ishus Yisrael on the first wife. That's how Rav Dovid of Soloveitchik interpreted the Lashon. The Gemara is going to have it later in the next Sukkot. The Gemara says that for the purpose of Bichas Erisim, when you get married, so you say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvoistov, this Divanu, and then you should have ended off with Kaddish Et Isha. Some Rishonim have that. Some Rishonim, you know, they look close like that. The Gemara has the Bichas Erisim, but The Gemara never mentioned the Birchas HaMitzvah. He said, the Azura writes, that's self-understood. Kol HaMitzvah Kulam Baruch Alei Marulot Yosam. The Gemara doesn't tell you what the Nisach HaBrach is Amatim and Kedai. They let you figure it out on your own. The Gemara doesn't tell you Amatim and Slulam. The Gemara doesn't have. You understand on your own what the Nisach is. That's the decision. The Gemara doesn't tell you. The Gemara is not a Siddur. You look in a Siddur. So the Gemara has the Kol HaMitzvah Kulam. The Gemara doesn't say, what the Nisach HaBrach you say when you Kaveh HaMitzvah. You figure it out on your own what the mitzvah should be. So when you get married, so you say birchas hamitzvah lekadesh asher kedushan, and it says in the Torah lekadesh asheisha. The Gemara has to tell you, in addition to the birchas hamitzvah, there's also birchas eretzim, which is the birchas sheva. It's not a birchas hamitzvah, but that's not the common practice. When we get married, we don't follow that opinion. We don't say two brachas. We assume, like the Rambam writes, that the birchas eretzim is the birchas hamitzvah. So if it's the birchas hamitzvah, why does it have such a funny lashon? The Rosh disagrees with the Rambam. The Rosh in Ksuv is on the next daf. And daf says disagrees with the Rambam. He says, Birchas Eirusin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. What, is a mitzvah to get married? The Rambam happens to hold yes. The Rambam writes the two mitzvahs. One mitzvah to get married, one mitzvah to have pirvurizm. The two distinct mitzvahs. But the Rosh apparently holds not. So the Rosh holds that getting married is just a Heksha mitzvah to have the children. The mitzvah is really pirvurizm. Yeah? And getting married per se is not a mitzvah. It's only a Heksha mitzvah. And he says, it's not even so much of a Heksha mitzvah, the Rosh writes. You can fulfill Piriviriga by having a Pilegesh. Even if you hold that it's also to have a Pilegesh. So you have to have marriage. We follow the Rambam. There is a minority opinion. A friend of mine, Rabbi Yankov, has the same with Chula, where he writes that it's permissible to take a Pilegesh. We haven't accepted most of what he said, and that's for sure we haven't accepted. But you're allowed to take a Pilegesh. It's not permissible to take a Pilegesh. So the Rosh writes, and even if you should assume that it's also to take a Pilegesh, and the only way to have the fulfillment of the mitzvah period is by getting married, that you're getting married just not in order not to violate the Easter of Pilegesh. It's an Easter of Lashia Kadesh, the Yer Kodesh. But it's not that that's a mitzvah. So he says, you normally cite a bracha when you're just about to do a Hefsha mitzvah. When you buy lulav and an ester, you say a bracha because you need Shalachet. You don't say a bracha when you do something that's necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Rosh says, the Birchas Eirusin, it's not a birchas hamitzvah at all. It's a birchas shevach vahidoy. And then he says also, you can tell from the text of the bracha that it's not a birchas hamitzvah. You see, asher kedushanam v'mitzvotam tzivanu al ha'arayot, that we're not permitted to marry any of the arayot. So, asher lanu es harusa, we're not allowed to live with an arusa. So where do you say a bracha on observing a loitzeh? Where do you ever have a bracha on observing a loitzeh? When a person eats kosher food, so he says, before he has the potato chips, he says, Barfi Hadoma. And then he says, Asher Kedushanam B'mitzvotam Tzivanu Shalom Lechem Acholos Asurim. When a person shaves with a razor, he says, the Bracha Asher Kedushanam B'mitzvotam, not to shave with a razor, to use an electric shaver. You never say a bracha before you're about to avoid violation of a loisase. So why should we say a bracha here? With Tzivanu Alhu Arroyas, V'asalonu Asarutza. Doesn't make any sense. But Hassan Sefer has in his Chuvus a suggestion that the word Arroyas doesn't mean Gili Arroyas, that you're not allowed to marry your sister and your mother and your daughter and so on. He says Arroyas means to hug your wife. It's Yivanu Al Arroyas. The Pasuk in Divrei Yomim that describes the Orin and the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Beis HaMikdosh, that the Klugim were hugging each other, Kima'ar Ish Viliv Yosef, like a husband hugging his wife, Kima'ar Ish Viliv Yosef. So the Hassan Sefer probably on there Hafshet. Hassan Sefer writes that that's the pshat. If you run away by Royas, I can't go to Kimain and have to hug our wife. There's such a mitzvah. If you run away, a mitzvah you have to hug your wife once a day every day. Any mitzvah that it doesn't say when you have to do once a day every day. How often do you have to hug your wife? If she needs a hug, so you give her a hug? Okay. The Pasch pshat is like the Rosh Tev. If you run away by Royas, Royas means Gili Royas. So that's what the Rosh Tev, since when do you say a bracha on an Easter? The whole bracha doesn't make any sense. But that's what the Rosh says, no. It's a birchas Hasheva. In the Shevach Loizoya, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us a whole different style of living. He gave us everything different. He gave us all of these wonderful mitzvahs. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik suggested, according to the Rambam, that the birchas there is in is a birchas HaMitzvah. So why do you put in all of these things? It's one of our rois, Vasalana Sarusa. So Rav Elbala suggested that maybe the reason why we have such a long list of HaBracha is to emphasize that this is an issue Israel as opposed to an issue B'nai Noach. B'nai Noach also have issues. They also have a Din of Eshes Ish. That is one of the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. They're not allowed to take an Eshes Ish. But they have an issue B'nai Noach. We have an issue Israel. So when we're really saying, Asher Kedishana B'mitzvahs of this Ivanu, we don't finish off the sentence with Ivanu L'Kadosh HaTarisha. The Rambam holds that getting married is one mitzvah and having children another mitzvah. The bracha really is, are we getting married? And we say, Mekadosh Am Yisrael Yedei Chupa V'Kiddushin. But it's both to sanctify the Jewish people by giving us the mitzvah of having Chupa V'Kiddushin. So the Rambam holds that the Bichas Erisin is the Bichas HaMitzvah over the mitzvah of getting married. But the reason why we mention in the middle of this long bracha the Arayas with the Erisin is to bring to emphasize the differences between Ishus Yisrael and Ishus B'nai Noach. That Ishus B'nai Noach, there's no concept of Arusa. The Gemara says, they only have Gula's Baal, and they only have Nisrud right away. They don't have Erisim. We have Erisim. We have a different table of Arayim from the B'nai Noach. Like Rabbah said over here, you know, they don't have Isha Fita, Isha Bachos, and so on. They have a different list of Gilei Arayim. So we include these Isurim into the Nusach HaBracha in order to describe the fact that we are making an Isha's destruction. There is a medrash on the pasuk in today's Sedra Chayisar that why did Eliezer take a Asor Gmal and Igmalei Adonov? Why did he need 10 camels? So there's a medrash that says that he needed 10 men for the minyan because he was going to say Birchas Eretz. By Rocha es Rivka, Chayisar says later on soon, by Rocha es Rivka, Mikan, from this pasuk we derive that you recite the Birchas Eretz even when the Shaliach is Mekadosh HaSeish. Not only when a man is Mekadosh HaSeish in person, that the Shliach is Mekadosh HaSeish is also the Kiddush HaNachal, and you can say the Bracha. So Eliezer was Mekadosh, that's how the Tosafot quotes and letters like that. And the next Daf, and Daf Ches, and Tzubim. Eliezer took along a minion in order to be able to recite the Birchas Eris and Basar. Yeah, in Shulchan Aruch it says that you need a minion for Birchas Nisuin, that's the Ikur. If you don't have a minion, you can't recite the Birchas Nisuin. The Birchas Eris and that you need a minion, that's only L'Havtila. If there's any Shatakach, so you can say the Birchas Eris and without a minion. By us, it's not going to help. You have a shot of tak, but you can't say the Birchas Nisuin. You can't have a chuppah without a minion. Because we have all the time the Eris and the Nisuin one after the other. This is relevant years ago. We used to have Eris and now and Nisuin later. So if it's any slight shot of tak, you can have the Eris and now with the Birchas Eris, and even if you don't have a minion, you just need two kosher eidim. And then you'll do the Nisuin later, you'll get a minion for that. Yeah, the Zman HaZeh is not going to help. Because it says in the Masechet Kala, Kala v'leit bracha, asur l'bayla k'nida. So Ebenezer, they call them achlekes achreinim, I think, about that. I don't think it's Rishon, they call them achlekes achreinim. How do you translate the word Kala v'leit bracha, asur l'bayla k'nida? Kala v'leit bracha means literally they didn't say b'chas nisu. They said they had the whole wedding ceremony. And the rabbi who was supposed to say b'chas nisu and fumbled and he said everything wrong. He said every bracha, he made so many mistakes that you just were not yotze with the bracha. So the chasen kala, after the bailo can eat them, but they had the canopy. They were standing under the canopy. They had the nisun, they just didn't have the bracha. So many understand literally the bailo bracha. But they didn't say the bracha of nisun. After the bailo can eat them. And others say, no, I mean, kala bailo nisun. Haru says after the bailo. Once you have nisun, you carry the bailo. The bracha is not miyake. Just like if you took the tefillah flul of the bracha is not miyake. The bracha is the mitzvah's been asur, the brachas been the rabbanis, so the brachas not miyakim. Here also, many pasim hold that the birchas nisuin is not miyakim. Once you did nisuin, so she's already materis lebaris. If you all like that, then it'll be relevant to zman hazeh. Let's say it's a big shas hatzchak to just give no minion. There is no minion here. The birchas erisin, whenever there's a shas hatzchak, you can say without a minion. You have to have two kosher eidim. That you need. You don't have two kosher eidim. The solution is not common. But if you don't have the minyan, you just don't say the Birchas Nisuin at all. But the question is, can you perform any Nisuin without having any Birchas Nisuin? Will it have any tokens? Will it have any validity? Will it should be Muteris Levaila? Will it be Asura Levaila? That's what the Beis Shmuel points out, the Machlokes Achronim. He points to that in the Shulchan Aruch. In the biography of the Adni Nezer, they point out that when he was a young boy, he was very, very old, very sharp. So they asked him Akasha that when Adam Arishan got married to Chava, who were the Eidi Kiddushin? There was nobody around. Who were the Eidi Kiddushin? How could they get married? So So he was very sharp, still a little kid. So he said that the Gemara asked Akasha, why do you need any condition for? Any condition, you need for any condition is learned out of Zereshava Dava Dava Mimon. It says, Kimasaba Erba Dava. It says, Alfi Shnei Eidim or Shlosh Eidim Yachim Dava. So just like by the Mimon is, you need to wait him, so too by Kedushin, you need Eidim for Kimadav, you need to wait him. So the Gemara asked Akasha, but since you're learning out from the Mimon is, so why not say that Haidos Baldin is good? Haidos Baldin is good among us, so let Haidos Baldin be good by Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, no, it's no good because it's Chav Lachrini. So he said, as a little child, when Adam Rishon got married, there were no other people in the world. So it wasn't Chav Lachrini. So therefore, he didn't need any Eidos Lakim Adam. Yeah. That's very sharp for a young boy. That's a good answer on the level of the age that he was at. What's the correct answer? The correct answer is, as the Rambam writes in the opening line, the Hilchos Ishus, that Kodem Atmosar of Ishus Bnei Noach. Ishus Bnei Noach never need Davis with Kim Adol. If a man decides to marry the girl, they both agree, they're both agreed, so they do Bulas Bal Yeshlan, but Ishus Biyah, there's no Shkert of Ashtar, there's only Biyah. And he says, who be he? The Rambam writes, after Matan Torah, now there are three ways to make Kiddushin, and there is, and then he's doing. After Matan Torah, need Eidus for Kim Adol. But after Matan Torah, there was no such need. There was no such halacha bechlal that you should need Eidus for Kim Adol. Kim Adol. The Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk by Rocha as Rivka, Tosfos quotes the Medrash from the Pirkei Avos by Rocha as Rivka means that you stay at Rivka's Erisin, even when the Shliach is Mekadosh. But the Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk by Rocha as Rivka, Vayom Adolach Hashdeno, Atayili Alfi Rivava, that wasn't Birchas HaMitzvah, Bracha to Hashem Yitzvorach. But Rochel asked Rivka, they gave the blessing to Rivka that she should have a lot of babies. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's our practice. It's not as there. When the person goes to the Badekin, he covers the Kala's face with the veil. So the meaning is that the Rabbonim go along and they give the Kala Bracha and they mention this Pasuk or a similar Pasuk. Atayili Alfi Rivava, similar Pasuk. Supposed to give the Kala a bracha, the couple a bracha, that they should have a lot of children. The end of the parasha says when Eliezer was coming back there, which we saw with Rivka, when she saw her husband, she realized that was, she saw from a distance, she realized that was Yitzchak. It says, Vetika Hatzoy Vatishkos. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote, she covered her face with a veil. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote that some claim that practice that we have, that we cover the kala's face with a veil, Mishum Tzniyus, is based on that pasuk. Others give other reasons why others say that constitutes Nisun. We mentioned the three different opinions, five different opinions. What constitutes Nisun? So one of the opinions is that it's the Badekin, and the Chosin has to do the Badekin. And others say no, Chosin doesn't have to go to the Badekin, the Rabbanim Badek the kala. The covering of the Kala's face maybe is because of, based on this pasuk, you shouldn't see it. That the first time she, the Dafka the Chosin shouldn't be there by the Badek. The first time she meets the Chosin, she should be wearing a veil, you shouldn't see it. In Shulchan Aruch, there's yet a third reason. The Rama has a third reason why they have a veil to cover the Kala's face, so she shouldn't be able to see the ring. Because if she'll see this gem on the ring, she'll think neodea how valuable this ring is. And maybe that the ring is only worth shavakuta, it's not worth so much. She'll cover her face, so she won't be able to see the ring, so she won't be able to make a mistake regarding the value of the ring. That's why the Rama writes another meaning, that the Masadi Kedushin says a little bit out loud, he asks the witnesses, is it shavakuta? The witnesses see, it's a ring, like all rings, of course, it's much more than a shavakuta. He says there's a meaning that the rabbi asks out loud of Shavakut, and they say yes, so that the girl should have in mind, the girl should realize that she's agreeing to the issues, even if it turns out that it's only a Shavakut. She shouldn't make any mistake and think that she's only agreeing to the Kiddushin because she thinks it's worth thousands of dollars. If she realized that it's worth less, she wouldn't have agreed to the Kiddushin. The Gemara says that's the reason for the Shamashit, that the Tzil Chasman, that Kiddushin is the root of the Shavakut. The Shamashit said, Bedina or Beshavadin. So the Shammai feel that it's a bizoyan for a girl to agree to get married for a pruta. Has to be worth something significant. A dinar is more than a pruta, not that much more. Nothing near $1,000, another couple of dollars. Yeah. A couple of dollars. Yeah. So the Shammai say like that. And the Gemara has dinam like that, that if the girl thought that the Kesir's condition was worth much more than it really is, then it's a question of smichas da. you know, she agreed to marry. In principle, she agreed to get married to him, but she thought that she's getting married with more valuable guests of Kiddushin, and it's really less valuable. That'll pose a problem on the validity of the Kiddushin. Later, the Torah says that this Esav, who didn't follow the traditions of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov, Esav gets married to the daughter of Ishmael, Mochalas Bas Ishmael, and there are two ways to pronounce the name Mochalas. Some pronounce it Mochalas, some pronounce it Mochalas. The Rashi, Maral Diskin points out that Rashi has two Midrashim. Each Midrash had a different way to pronounce the name. The Rashi has one Midrash, I think that's in part of the other way, Ishlach, no? The one Midrash says, Oseb Risha Al Vishosan. He was married to wicked women before, now he married another wicked wife. So according to that comment that, right, that the Medrash makes on the Pasuk, apparently they must have read the word machala, noha machala. He had previous wives which were like a machala, a sickness, a disease. Now he had another machala, another disease. And then Rashi quotes the other Medrash, which is the Talmud Yerushalmi, that says, mochala, with a comment, Miloshe Mechila. That when a couple gets married, they get a mechilas avayim. If they're interested. If they're interested in getting a mechilas avayim. So even Esav is marrying the daughter of Ishmael. Not such a hot shidduch. Still, apparently he was interested in getting a mechilas avayim. So he did shuva. And he got mochalas by Ishmael. He got a mechilas avayim on that occasion. Last night there was a conference on the Aguna issue, so Rabbi Reis mentioned at the conference, Rabbi Yonah Reis mentioned that we're talking about such sad stories. People shouldn't think that marriage is something terrible. Marriage is a wonderful thing, and the Torah is all for it. You just have to make sure that you pick the boys and the girls, just have to make sure that they pick the right person. You have to know what are they looking for in marriage. You have to look for the right thing. Not to look for silly, superficial qualities.